And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. By Four, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray. Rock God Rick Mexa is down at Palmas de Cortez, and our co-host today, Corey Sandin from MC Swim Baits. What a great show we're going to have for you today. Fresh off the tribute, Captain Mike Pritchard is here in our studio in the world headquarters here next to the San Diego Landings. We're going to have a great show talking some bluefin, yellowtail, and more. You stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the mightier 1090.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by, so grab your gear and let's go! This adventure Ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third row power fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyfordnow.com to learn more or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Coastal Conservation Association counts on people like you to help protect angling. One way to help and become a conservation hero is to sign up for Contribute to Conservation. This program allows you to automatically donate as little as $10 per month with no contract and the ability to opt out at any time. For a limited time, receive a CCA t-shirt and sports fishing calendar when you sign up. Visit ccacalifornia.org today.
Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And yeah, great morning this morning.
Yeah, I love this time of the year.
Beautiful Southern California day here, and great to have you, Corey. And
nice to be here.
Pretty exciting here. Time of year for us, the late spring.
I love it. I really do.
Towards summer.
It's just really a lot of stuff happening.
Changing times.
Yeah, stuff happens in the inshore. The offshore is starting to develop. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and Captain Mike Pritchard is literally fresh off the water. What time did the boat get back this morning, Mike?
We got in at 5:30.
At Seaport Sport.
Fresh off the boat.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking the time to come over to the world headquarters here and be on Let's Talk Hookup. We appreciate it. So how was the trip?
You know what? The bluefin did not cooperate like they had been. We had a little bit of a shot in the morning. Stopped on a really nice sonar school. And first one to get bit was my cook. Got bit on a yo-yo jig, handed it off. Fish came off, which, you know, it's my cook's method of operation there. So
hook one, hand it off.
We ended up landing a bait fish, a sinker rig fish, shortly after that, about a 100-pounder. And nice. It started off great. I know Andrew on the Pacifica came on the radio. He had three hanging. So it looked like it was going to be a really good morning. Pretty good sign of fish. Hooked another really nice one on the kite. Fish a little over 200 pounds.
Wow.
And unfortunately pulled the hook on that one at color. So we all thought it was going to be a great start. Guys stopping. We were down there in the mix. The Royal Star had a little bit of a stop in the morning. So it looked like it was going to be a really, really good day. And that was it for the bluefin, man. It shut off shortly after, I'd say, probably 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. And dragging our feet, trying to stick in that area. I think it was about 4:30 before we made a little bit of a move, and there had been some really good sign of yellowtail, and thankfully they're nice grade fish. We ended up with 83 yellowtail though in the afternoon.
Sweet, absolutely. 83 in the afternoon
saved our butt.
Wow.
Yeah, I think and it was kind of funny. We had a kelp for 42 yellows, and most of them were like 6 to 10 pound fish.
That's good fishing.
Nice fish. You know, you get a chance to pull on them. They pull drag, something you got to gap. And we had two guys up the side, and one guy looked at the other one and he goes, "You know what? F those bluefin."
Yellowtail fishing is fun when it's wide open like that.
Oh man, they're biting the jig and everything else, and the guys had a blast. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. You start venturing out of the zone, and there's still plenty of boats there in that area looking for bluefin, and you want to be within striking distance. So you start, you know, meandering a little bit outside and start catching fish. And it just, as far as I know, at least as of about 10 o'clock last night, that stuff just never bit. I mean, I know the night before, the Intrepid had a stellar night bite from, what, like 9 o'clock at night till 2 o'clock in the morning. And
vampire fishing.
Oh, man, it's so hard on the crew.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that. It makes for a long night.
But, yeah,
hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had very, very good yellowtail fishing to go with it, and our one bluefin. So hopefully, there's a fair amount of fish around. It's bluefin fishing.
Yeah.
It makes about as much sense as white sea bass fishing does.
I mean, they bite when you think they're not, and they don't bite when you think they are, and it's just the way it is.
Man, so eager to get down there on our first offshore trip here in the last few months. And
that was your first?
It was. We were supposed to be out last Friday night, and the weather, changed everything.
Yeah.
It's been a choppy spring, to say the least.
It's been a little challenging, Which, you know, I mean, it's kind of, on your end, it's good and bad, but it kind of keeps the skiffs from running and getting on it and being on top of you, and the fish being just a little bit out of range for the skiff guys, but yet the weather definitely...
And we, like we were talking about earlier, Corey, is... There was definitely, there's been some interesting current lately. Current going against the wind, current going against the swell. It wasn't horrible yesterday, but it makes it just a little rollier than it needs to be.
And on a boat your size, that kind of texture is just a minor deal.
It makes for good kite weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And we did have three kite bites, and only one of them really stuck. But, yeah, it's... especially with this kite fishing lately, nice weather doesn't always work out well.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually not the best getting them up on the surface kind of thing.
Man, trying to get a kite out when you have flat conditions, and you know that's the only way you're going to get bit is, you want to see some crew members just start losing it.
Yeah.
Captains.
Frustrating.
Oh, man, you start getting that kite out there, you get the kite up, and then you start dragging the bait out, and then the wind changes a little bit and blows the bait back to the boat, and you're watching these fish boil, 50 yards from the boat, and
you know if they're going to be there.
If I could only get it out there.
Yeah. So tell our listeners that aren't familiar with the Tribute about the Tribute.
The Tribute's an 80-foot mahogany plank vessel. It's a Dittmar Donaldson.
Beautiful.
Very, very similar hull construction as the San Diego, just slightly longer. Low, wide, like I said, built up by Dittmar Donaldson and co-designed by Bill Poole. So a lot of the Dittmars, you look at boats like the Grande, the Islander. I mean, there's a ton of them out there. This is one that was definitely built with long-range fishing in mind. It's low, wide, lots of room up the side. You're nowhere near the rudders as you're coming around the stern. You know, it's one of those things you can definitely see Bill's input in it.
Yeah.
And the first one of his boats that had the heads on the inside, which I know Ingrid always raved about. And
yeah.
Even talking to her recently, she goes, man, I love the fact that we didn't have to go outside to use one of the heads.
It was a big deal because the heads were usually up at toward the bow of the boat.
Yeah.
And you had to come out of the galley.
Still makes no sense.
And if you had weather.
Right.
Yeah.
Like trying to make it up the side of the boat, you know?
I know. I ran a few boats with the heads up the side. And especially if you're going up swell in bad weather, you're
not a cool deal.
You're doing your business in there. You hear somebody run up the side trying to time it between sets.
Yeah.
And they grab the door handle, and it's locked, and then you hear the swell. And then you hear the guy running back to the stern.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes, it does have two full head showers, very, very comfortable. Thankfully, nowhere near the bunk room, so everything's aired out properly. And I know for Ingrid, it was a huge ordeal at the time. So,
and it was designed as a long range boat. It was Bill's first long range boat.
It spent a lot of time at Alejos Rocks, Guadalupe. It was, you know, and the change in vessels now. I mean, you look at some of the new long range boats and the amenities and the ability that they have is amazing. But at the time when that thing was built, 1966, it was one of the premier long-range boats. And it has seen probably more weather and more destinations and more, especially look back in the day and some of the fish holds and the counts on them, the Black Sea Bass, the Marlin. That thing used to have a 21-ton fish hold on it, which is gnarly for a boat that size.
So she preceded the Searcher as far as, or the Cape Polaris, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you look at the history back then, it was amazing what Bill did and what Dittmar Donaldson did.
Yeah. What was the original name of the boat?
It was the Polaris 3.
Polaris 3.
Yeah. So, yeah, which was the Prowler, and then my boat was built after that as the Polaris 3, then the Searcher, the Cape Polaris. And I think all these were done about 3 years apart from each other.
Yeah.
So,
isn't that crazy?
You want to talk about some effort being
put
into it.
Some history, man.
Well, that and that just... You know, trying to one-up your last boat. It's just, it's crazy when you look at that.
You know, something you've mentioned in the past, the wooden planks today purchased would be like double the cost of the boat or something. I mean, you've put stats out.
I don't even know if it's possible anymore.
Right.
To have that kind of...
To even obtain the quality of wood that's... In the boat.
It's amazing.
Yeah. As we watch the Shogun backing in right now,
right?
Fisherman's Landing. Now, how did Renee do it?
I'm not sure what he did with bluefin. Bluefin fishing the day before we got out there, I think, was decent.
Yeah.
I know he did fairly well on yellowtail yesterday as well. I think he was one of the first ones to venture off and, make a yellowtail catch to fill in part of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
The mahogany structure and... The Tribute, Polaris 3, is one of the few boats that's a solid mahogany plank. Every plank on there
is mahogany.
Yeah, it's basically a 2-inch mahogany plank.
Holy mackerel.
And it's...
You talk about solid.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, it's funny. I just recently bought a toy hauler, and I took some of my planks to use as for the leveling blocks. And I've had a lot of people comment on it. They say, well... Where'd you come up with that? I said, no, that's basically part of my boat. And these giant mahogany planks. I said, there's no way your whole entire hull is built out of that. I said, that's it.
Wow.
Every one of those planks. And you couldn't replicate that now, I think, if you tried.
No.
Just the way they used to cure wood back then was completely different. Now everything's rushed and pressure treated. And it's I don't know if we had to replace a bunch of planks where they would come from.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
you can't replicate the ride that kind of hull offers either. I mean, it's an incredible, those that have done it know, and it's just the way it enters the water and the way it,
quietness.
Yeah, it's just it's a totally different deal.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
I love watching, any kind of boat, the way it handles going up swell, down swell. And yeah, it's definitely very unique. And the way it sits, it's, I think even our bow is only about six and a half feet off the water or something like that. It's when we're loaded down, it's, there's none of this winding down to try to bounce your fish up 8 feet. We're right there. I mean, almost on a good swell reach over and grab them. And but somehow it's extremely dry.
Yeah, that's what's amazing about that.
There's no water coming through the scuppers. Yeah. I mean, it's very uncommon for us to get wet from anything coming, you know, through the over the cap rail or the scupper or anything else. Very buoyant.
Yeah, very, very much so. And so you're running right now, you're running day-and-a-half trips out of Seaforth Sport Fishing.
Day-and-a-half trips. We do have a token one-day trip scheduled each Thursday night, which by looking at some of the stuff, it's going to happen. I mean, we have very, very good yellowtail fishing out of one-day range. Well, I guess on the edge of one-day range. But I know there's been some fish up above that, up above the inner bank. Mike Franchek was... I think a lot closer to home the other day on the Relentless, and he had, I think, a half dozen bluefin and some yellowtail mixed in. And rumor has it he may have seen some other tunas, and everybody's going to jump to the conclusion on that, but he thought he saw some yellowfin, not albacore.
In 60-degree water.
Yeah, apparently.
Wow. Well,
interesting.
We'll see, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, off to a great start. This bluefin hasn't gone anywhere. I'm sure it's been somewhere for the last few months. I think our last... bluefin was late December. I know Buzz, Captain Buzz, had ran a trip and had a little bit of bluefin mixed in, and I think there's a few caught in January. So these things aren't leaving anymore, and they're unfortunately probably just getting bigger.
Which is crazy, right? I mean, you're talking 100 to 200-pound fish right now. I mean, and you know there's 300 to 400-pounders swimming around, too. I mean, that blows my mind.
The fact that some people think 100-pounders are small now is... very interesting.
Yeah, I find that really interesting. And Captain Buzz is running trips occasionally on the Tribute.
Yeah,
right?
He's going to be running some trips for me. Definitely great to have him on the boat.
Yeah,
and he said the same thing. He goes, "Man, I am so happy to be back on a Ditmar."
Oh yeah,
it's somebody, you know. He's spent a lot more time than I have on him.
Sure.
And, you talk to anybody like Rick Podolak, a lot of the I'm sure Geffen felt the same way. A lot of guys that have spent a lot of time on Ditmars, once you get away from them and you walk back on one, it's, you know, just not only just reminiscing, just it's being back at home.
It's solid, solid, quiet, yeah, good ride.
Yeah, definitely leaves a place in your heart for them.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today. We just scratched the surface of Captain Mike Pritchard today, and we've got a lot to talk about bluefin, yellowtail, yellowfin, maybe albacore.
I know, right? I know. We've got a fun 2 hours ahead of us with Mike, and as you've heard, some really cool stuff, and giving away a really cool deal, a day-and-a-half trip on the Tribute. I mean, how could it get any nicer?
Yeah.
A day-and-a-half trip to be used before the end of June,
yep.
Before the end of, you know, the end of June there, out of Seaforth Sport Fishing with Mike. One lucky caller is going to win that. You can text the show via the app, and Pete will be reading those off. You have something to add that way. If you want to give us a shout and have your chance to win that day-and-a-half trip on the Tribute, give us a shout at 213-432-1090. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Dana Landing in Mission Bay is truly the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Come see our expert fishing staff for just about anything you need for a great day of on-the-water fun. Looking for a fishing charter? Dana Landing has you covered with the Blackjack, perfect for up to 4 anglers, or the Impulse with up to 6. Dana Landing has a huge selection with everything you need to catch small bay bass or giant tuna. We will be sure to set you up with the right gear. We even offer reel repair and Mexican and California fishing licenses. Don't forget forget the amazing deli at Dana Landing with all the food, ice, and beverages you need to complete your day. Need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle with all the finest rods and reels, the hottest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has an amazing staff who love to share their passion for fishing. East County Bait and Tackle is located at the end of the 67 freeway on Main Street in Lakeside, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Laundry Camp on San Diego's Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Seakeeper, the leader in marine stabilization, has launched its newest, smallest, and most radically different model, the Seakeeper 1. Now, for the first time, stabilization is available for boats as small as 23 feet. The Seakeeper 1 is designed to eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on vessels 23 to 30 feet. With a fresh new look, the Seakeeper 1 has a compact flush mount installation and runs on 12-volt battery power. Installation is a breeze. It can fit under almost any seat. Now your skiff can enjoy the comfort and enjoyment that only a Seakeeper-equipped boat can provide. Check out the Seakeeper demo boat at upcoming shows and arrange a free test ride. Seakeeper has changed the lives of many Southern California anglers, including Pete Gray, and will allow you to stay on the fishing grounds when others need to head back to port. Visit seakeeper.com/take-a-ride to arrange a demo. Eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on your trailer boat. Seakeeper. Once you feel it, you'll never boat without it.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Eddie Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Day and a half trip on the Tribute, you know, used before the end of June. 213-432-1090, that's your chance.
Yeah, that's your chance to get in with Captain Mike Pritchard. A lot to talk about here on Let's Talk Hookup, and just a fun time of the year for all of us, right?
It really is.
Must really feel good to be back on the water, huh?
Yeah, and it's something when we were doing our maintenance this year, really pushing for being operational about the 1st of April. And we, like I said, we had to cancel last week due to a little bit of a weather problem. And then we took the boat out after that, just doing a shakedown. And it's something that's really not the worst idea. After sitting and doing maintenance for 2 or 2.5 months, is take it out. And we took it out on, I think it was on Friday. After, I mean, we had already canceled our trip due to weather, and get it out there. And I remember Brian on the new Seaforce going by. He goes, what are you doing? I said, no, I'm trying to break the boat. What are you trying to break the boat for? I said, well, I've been doing maintenance for 2.5 months. I did a lot of stuff, did a lot of work to the crew room. We're doing some seating on the upper deck. And, you know, you want to take it out, roll it around, beat it up a little bit, and see what's going to fall over. And, well, we blew out our port gearbox. So
ooh.
that cost us a trip Tuesday night. Back got it all fixed up and it ran fine. And you know, it's one of those things, and that style of gearbox doesn't really give you any indication that it's going out. And it's so much better to happen 2 miles outside the harbor than it is 100 miles south in choppy weather.
Or in July or June or
especially
August.
When you got to order the part from Canada. And it showed up and we were fixed within a couple of days.
Nice.
We're back being operational, but you know, when somebody asks you what you're trying to do and you say you're trying to break the boat, and you break the boat.
Now, when you say gearbox, is that the transmission?
Yeah, it's the drive inside the transmission. Basically, it's on this one, it's a Vulcan drive, the one that went out. It's basically held together with a bunch of rubber and silicone, and when it went out, it smelled like the drag strip.
Interesting.
It smelled just like burning tires.
Burning tires. Well, hey, phones are pat. They want to talk to you, Mike, so let's go ahead and jump into it, Corey.
Let's do it, Pete. Darren from Marietta. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Darren.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
So I guess my question is, I'm a new fisherman, and about 3 years ago, my dad took me on one of my first deep-sea fishing trips, and it was this Humboldt squid. So I guess my question is, what type of currents, weather temperature, and or moon start creating the correct environment for those squid to start coming down south?
One of those cycles, isn't it?
You got to put those in with the occasional salmon and albacore, right? You know, they were around for long enough to become a nuisance in a lot of cases. We were actually getting jig strikes on those things outside Ensenada.
You're kidding me. Giant squid?
It was so funny. I was running the International Star at the time. We turned on a sonar school, and we get a four-way jig strike, and I look down. Guys are getting bit. I'm like, yeah, here we go. All squid.
Giant squid.
See them outside of San Martin where they're driving around. Their tentacles are up out of the water. And
then they just disappear.
And how fun would it be to put one of those live things out on a kite right now?
Oh, man. Jeez.
I have no idea how to answer that. I'd love to see them again. They're great to eat. And some of those twilight trips were unreal.
Oh, yeah.
You go out and catch 400 or 500 squid. And then some of those things, they pull.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
And I think in Darren's case, what you have to realize, Darren, is the ocean's beautiful. And there's cycles that come around. And then, like right now, we've been in a 7-year incredible bluefin cycle that
hopefully never goes away.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And the squid thing was a cycle that lasted, 10 years or something?
Well, you guys, yeah, about that. Yeah. You guys, are they still prevalent in the Sea of Cortez?
The giant squid?
Yeah.
Not as much as they were when they were here. I remember they're there. They're there. But you don't see as much. I remember the trips down to Palmas de Cortez, Rancho Leonero. The first thing you did was you go catch giant squid for bait, right? That doesn't happen. And it hasn't happened. That hasn't happened for several years.
Interesting.
So,
oh, man. Yeah. I remember bringing the XL back up from one of our long trips. We're outside of Mag Bay and... we're just looking around. There had been some bluefin around, and we came across those things eating giant squid. And it was just the crew, and we couldn't get bit on jigs or anything else. What we should have been doing is trying to gaff the squid and put him back out.
Yeah.
Watching those big bluefin blow up on those things, and there were some trips where we had him out on the kite and everything else. And oh man, I couldn't even imagine with this big bluefin around right now, Darren.
Oh,
what it would be like to be able to tank up on those things.
Oh.
And,
unbelievable.
Put out a 10-pound squid.
Yeah. So, do you ever fish? I know. By the way, thanks a lot for the call. It's a good question. And
one I can't answer.
Glad you're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, and hopefully we can get some good answers for you. When you put out a dead flying fish, or even if you're lucky enough to find live flyers and stuff like that, it's pretty cool. Have you ever done a dead squid?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That works?
They still work. I know Jim Hughes, a.k.a. Rambo, is
a
big fan of them. And, it's one of those things. Even at Aleos Rocks, I remember putting out, we got one of those big diamond squid or devil squid. And it must have been 12 pounds or something. And as it was going out, the yellowfin, they were small, 20-pounders, ate it down to the point where we finally hooked one. It seemed like it was more of a territorial thing for him. The fact that they were trying to eat something bigger than they were.
Yeah.
And we did have, at least I think it was probably the early 2000s, where there was some of that big bluefin around and putting those things out on the kite. Yellowfin love them too. That was one of the things, same thing down at Clarion or anywhere else, is when you start talking about your big tackle, you either have flying fish or, dead squid. Live squid work better. Anything live. Live flyers are great, but... I think with this fishing, if we started seeing those things, it would change everything. You can fish straight 400 pound with those.
Just fly line one, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. That'd be crazy. Hey, a text from Al Perry. Given the variety of options now, what is the minimum recommended setups that you would bring on a day and a half trip? That's, of course, a text through our Let's Talk Hookup app.
Man. Okay. So yesterday is a prime example of, the array of tackle you need to have. We were recommending yesterday morning everybody fish at least 80-pound. If you're fishing a sinker rig, if you're fishing a flat fall, make sure you have a heavy leader on it. And then,
what's heavy?
Well, when we first started fishing those flat falls for these things, we learned the hard way that 100-pound isn't heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy yesterday say, well, can I put my kite set up out, next time I got 100-pound. 100-pound's not heavy anymore. 100-pound mainline and then a leader anywhere from 150-pound on up to 300-pound, depending on how they're biting. Bluefin have giant teeth on them. They can chew through just about anything. Just the amount of heartbreaks you hear, on the kite, getting them on, get them straight up and down on 300-pound, and they chew through it.
Oh.
It's just...
That's a heartbreak, man.
Man, they have some teeth on them. They love to shake their head. So that, as far as a leader goes, I'd say, you know, bring everything.
Yeah.
But then in the afternoon, we went out and we fished yellowtail, and we had one of the guys on the boat, the guy who actually got our only bluefin yesterday, was fishing like an 8.5-foot bass rod for yellowtail, and he killed him. And he had a blast. I mean, yeah. You know, fishing 20-pound specker or whatever on a bass setup.
Nice.
So we thankfully carry a lot of rods. I think it's somewhere around 210 rod holders or something on the boat.
Wow.
And we usually do limited load trips. So I would bring anything, maybe 20-pound, I would say, is on the light side, 25-pound on up to unlimited.
Yeah. And you have kite rods for people that don't have the kite set up.
No. We have a great sponsorship between Akuma and Seeker, and we have all the kite gear that you'll need.
So you don't need that super heavy outfit.
No,
you've got your cutter.
No, and that, I mean, if you're packing gear in, especially for a shorter trip,
yeah.
Lugging around a 12-pound rod reel combo is kind of gnarly. So
yeah.
We do have your kite gear set up, but I would bring 25-pound on up to 100, like a 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, and 100, or depending on what's going on. But you want to make sure that if the smaller bluefin are biting, your lightest setup's not 50-pound.
Right. Yeah, very good. Good question there. And, hey, let's head down south. We were talking about the East Cape, and let's head down to Rancho Leonero. Mr. John Ireland's on the line. Buenos dias, John.
Good morning, John.
Hello, Rick. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
Corey's here today. Rick's actually down in your zone. He's at a wedding at Palmas de Cortez.
You know, I knew that. I knew that.
It's habit. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's enjoying good fishing if he's out right now. The water warmed up quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. It's 73 to 76 degrees. Kind of mixed up. It's a little cooler inside, warmer outside. But it's brought in. Finally, we're getting the Dorado and the Yellowfin that we've been waiting for. And also a real strong striped marlin, by gosh. Really a lot of striped marlin around. Really thick. The tuna right now they're not under there. They're catching them closer to the beach, off the lighthouse, and then down Rincon and outside the park boundary there. I'm picking up some nice yellowfin. We're getting real good sardine now, nice big sardine and plenty of them. And that's definitely the bait of choice. That's really pretty much catching everything with the exception of the striped marlin. But they're drift fishing on the border there, right at Rincon on the Pomo Park boundary there, and then right very close to the beach there at the lighthouse. And they're picking up yellowfin between 10 to 50 pounds, some nice fish. You know, solitary fish, one or two per day, something like that. And then the Dorado are mixed in with them. No real size yet. They're peanuts. They're running 2 to, I'd say, 12 pounds, something like that. But they're here and they're around, and we expect bigger fish to be falling soon. But quite a few Dorado around as well. Getting back to the billfish, they're everywhere. But, I mean, jumpers, tailors, you can't believe how many there are around. And everyone that's out there targeting them has multiple releases, 3, 4, 5 fish a day, letting them go. And also the yellow tail are still around on the high spots, not as active as they have been in past weeks, but they're still around in big fish too. You know, 20 to 50 pounders are pretty common. Sorabo Island is really still producing the biggest fish up there. So lots going on. But
sounds like it.
Yeah, rooster fish as well. Not much pressure on them. Everybody's fishing outside, but big rooster fish are crashing all along the beach, too. So we're definitely getting into the season, guys. It's exciting, I'm telling you.
Hey, John, we were talking earlier in the show about giant squid and how they were so prevalent for so many years. And now, are you still seeing any giant squid down there, or is it pretty much gone?
We used to make bait every year, you know.
Yeah.
Normally, they're July, August, September, and we go out and just jig for them right in front of the hotel. Big whoppers, you know. They're 6-7 feet long.
Yeah,
and
the
past couple of years, no, we haven't seen many. They have to be around. We see the smaller squid, not the big giant stuff. And gosh, there's so many whales. You cannot believe how many whales have got in. And they're not the seiners, you know. They're all the meat eaters. And they're munging on the squid for sure. So they're in there. We just haven't had them close to the beach.
Yeah.
It's been 3 or 4 years since we've had the real whoppers, huh? good bait, too.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Well, if somebody wants to book a trip to Rancho Leonero, I know things are filling fast, so you better get on it. How do we do that, John?
Thanks, Pete. It's going to be a good year. 800-646-2252 or RanchoLeonero.com.
All right. Great report, John, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Sure will, gentlemen. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate that. Phones are packed, Corey. Let's jump into it. They want to talk to Mike.
I know they do. Let's do it, Pete. Amber. How about Amber from Chula Vista? Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning, Amber.
Good morning. So I'm curious, do you feel a Makaira 16 or 20 with the rail rod is big enough if you catch these big bluefin?
It depends on what you consider big anymore.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that, and, man, it, you know, loaded up with Spectra, they do just fine. As far as you start talking about, you know, the bigger bluefin, and it's funny because is a 100-pound bluefin big anymore?
Yeah.
Well,
to me
I consider
them
big. So
that's a big fish.
Yeah. I mean, looking at our kite rod yesterday, we actually one of our charter groups gifted me a rod last year, and it was a Makaira 50 and a rail rod. And it's funny because even on that big bluefin that we hooked, we had five different people pull on that thing and couldn't budge it.
Oh,
it was probably a little over 40 minutes, and we lost it at color. But you're talking about, you know, as big as these bluefin keep getting, you do want to have something a little bit bigger with you. For your standard, you know, 100 to 150-pound bluefin, it's fine. But on something like that, you're looking at some of the biggest gear out there, and we still can land the things.
So, yeah.
And with this, these bluefin getting bigger and bigger each year, I mean, I don't know. They're going to have to start building new reels.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. 500-pound test, right?
Yeah. I mean, a 50-wide, especially now fishing the kite, isn't a big reel anymore.
Yeah. And there were several over 400 pounds landed last year, right?
Well, and when we said it earlier, you know, it's scary what the big fish might be this year. I mean,
yeah,
we're going to have to start building bigger fish holds.
Yeah.
All right.
So for your medium to, you know, I guess large size bluefin, yeah, that would be fine. You do want to start having heavier tackle if you're going to be fishing the flatfall or sinker rigs, and you know, just it's hard to say how big these things are going to be this year.
Yeah, and so one setup like that, a bigger setup would be adequate to fish the flatfall or a sinker rig or something like that.
Yeah, right? That'd be fun. Just make sure you load it up with the 100 or 130-pound Spectra on it.
Okay, very good. Hey, Amber, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that. Always nice to hear from the ladies.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Paul. Paul calling from Bellflower. We appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Paul.
Hello.
Good morning,
hi,
Paul.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Pete.
Hey,
hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
We got you.
Corey, this question is actually for Corey. Have you made any plastics yet for, like, the bluefin, for, like, Yum Yum Flyers or anything?
You know, it's just everything I make, how do I say it? Everything I make has a purpose for what I love to do in the inshore, whether it's halibut, calico, whatever. And I just... I'm probably the last guy that you're going to find out fishing 100 to 200-pound bluefin, honestly. I mean, I love eating them, and I love the whole thing, and I love fishing. You could find me at the lake fishing crappie or bass or whatever, but, I'll leave it to the guys that have a passion and enjoy doing that. You know? That's
your passion is inshore.
Inshore, and I'll stick to what I know.
And freshwater
doing.
Bass fishing.
It is, absolutely, yeah.
Now, you also pour a lot of baits for freshwater bass fishermen now, too,
yeah, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
It's become really popular.
It has, and our local fishery is insane, you know, and that's why I love going to El Salto and Pinachos.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Good times.
I need to go to El Salto.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, the Excel crew went the last month, and I'm sure you saw their pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't get to.
Man, there's some nice bass.
Yeah, there's some big ones down there for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that. Mike from Torrance is asking, what's the biggest change you've seen in our fishery since you started? And you started pretty young up there in Ventura, right?
Oh, yeah. Well... And it's funny, as a kid, I remember working on boats up out of Ventura and seeing albacore trips listed. I'm like, oh, man, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Going through that cycle. But I would honestly say in the 30 years or whatever that I've been doing this, the fact what we're just talking about, these big bluefin and what the change has been in overnight tackle has become is ridiculous. I mean, it's, you know, you're talking about having small charter boats that have $25,000 worth of tackle to kite fish. Like, it's, and, you know, the innovation of Spectra.
Right.
When I was a kid, I must have been like 12 or 13 years old, and I remember I was, I think I was working on the Mirage at the time up in Port Hueneme, and this guy brought out this line, and he goes, here, try to cut this stuff. And, you know, typical pinhead or, you know, young deckhand had a pair of dykes that have pulled every hook known to man, and we're sitting there trying to cut through this stuff, and I go, man, I hope I never see this on a boat. It was when Spectra, you know, was first being introduced. Between Spectra, the real technology, and this big fish, I mean, it all had to go together.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the 60s, Zane Grey, and, yeah, I mean, he landed some big bluefin, but you're talking about the numbers of bluefin that we put on the boats now, and the capability and tackle, real line innovation, has all gone together. And it couldn't have happened one without the other.
I'll add something to that, and it's the RSWs. Putting the RSWs on the overnight, day and a half, and down to the three-quarter day or full-day trips is a game changer.
I was working on the Producer like 1996 through 99.
Yes.
And I remember Ray Sobiak
hanging in the gunny sack.
It was going to put us out of business.
Yeah.
Because that RSW goes, I can't believe these people. Yeah, we're going to start doing this, and we've got to chill the fish. We've got to bleed every one of them, and it's become a thing.
Yeah. It's and like if you don't have it, you're not there.
Gunny sacks are there for when the smaller grade fish are biting full speed,
yeah,
and then they get tagged. I mean, yesterday, every yellowtail that came on my boat got bled right into the RSW. They come out better looking than they went in.
Oh, man. It's incredible.
It's changed. Like, you're talking about Bonita, Barracuda, fish that you normally didn't want to eat, come out, and they look as good, if not better, and they cut better.
We've learned that they're actually pretty darn good eating.
you're right. That the flooding of the wells, RSW, and I think Tim and Randy were some of the first innovators on that.
And in conjunction with Shauna Fisherman's Processing.
Uh-huh.
So you had the Royal Star and them, and it all, you know, it rolled from there.
Things have changed.
A lot of experimenting with that. I know when I was an engineer on the Excel before I started running the boat, we were trying to sample, you know, how much salt, what temperature, how long can you keep them in, how many times do you flush the well. You're right. That's one of them, too. It's a complete game changer.
And it takes your catch to a different level of harvest. I mean, it's truly a harvest.
Yeah, you know? See some of those yellowfin or bluefin that are properly taken care of and that have been in the RSW for 5 or 6 days, and you look at it, and you're like, man, that looks like straight, you know, something you'd see in the best sushi restaurant anywhere.
And that's
and
it.
Everybody can take one home.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Point Loma Seafoods is like the closest place that you could get anything remotely close to what you're going to get going out with you on a day and a half and catching, let's just say, a 50-pound bluefin. That the harvest from that, the only thing close is Point Loma Seafoods.
You know?
And to step in and take a look at the price per pound.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
I don't know what it is now, but I know it's up there.
It is, absolutely. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Cooking. We're going to have more from Mike and the tribute when we return on Let's Talk a Cup app and the Mightier 1090.
Are you looking for an ultimate fishing destination? Well, look no further than Queen Charlotte Safari Lodge in British Columbia. This is Valerie Helbridge. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure, but a few of the highlights in fishing with us is the protected, calm, pristine waters for quality Chinook salmon all season. After you get your limits of salmon, Queen Charlotte Safaris will take you in our comfortable, covered, heated jet boat to our halibut, lingcod, and rock fishing areas, and we have larger retention than Alaska. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sunspit, and it's so easy to get to. You fly from almost anywhere from the United States and Canada into Vancouver, then a short flight directly to Sunspit. Our trips are all-inclusive, full days of fishing, custom processing, fishing license, and all your gear is provided. Let our expert chefs pamper you with amazing meals. Our staff delivers wonderful hospitality, all in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. So call me at 1-877-815-2892 or qcsafaris.com. We look forward to seeing you then. better.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedro Sport Fishing, and now also La Bacana Sport Fishing. From world-class yellowtail and calicos at Cedros to grouper and estuary fishing at La Bacana. Our Cedros Lodge is nestled on the cliff's edge, and the bungalows at La Bacana are within steps to the Pacific Ocean. Both trips depart through the CBX in San Diego, and the flights are direct. Two awesome destinations with the same great service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at CedrosSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Gotta love California in the summer. Just remember, COVID is still with us. So if you're going to the water, plan ahead. Follow local public health guidelines and make sure everyone wears a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and appreciate you joining us this morning. We're having a fun time with Mike. And,
yeah.
And if you want to join us, the lines are full, but when one does open up, it's 213-432-1090. We're giving away a day-and-a-half trip on the Tribute. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you for that. And, of course, you can always text the show via the Let's Talk Hookup app, too, and free app, and download that app, and listen to the show, listen to archives, text the show. A lot of other stuff.
It's a great way to do it. I mean, if you missed yesterday's show, you can go back and listen. Or maybe you're going to be gone next weekend. You can,
You can take them with you. You can download the podcast and listen to them in your car or whatever. Yeah, it's a really easy deal. Hey, I want to say congratulations to our good buddy Pete Grosbeck. And he has been awarded the very prestigious Tommy Gifford Award, which is for the greatest saltwater charter skippers of all time.
Wow.
He comes among West Coast guys like The Beak and Steve Lasley in getting this award. So it's an IGFA award, and well-deserved. I know Pete's been at it a very long time San Diego and in Southern
California. So knowledgeable.
And so congratulations, Pete Grosbeck, on the getting awarded the Tommy Gifford Award.
Congratulations.
Which is a huge
accomplishment.
Yeah, for sure, for a charter captain.
Another San Diego boy.
There you go.
Like it.
Well, let's find out what's biting out there, Corey.
Let's do it. It's sponsored by Gamakatsu. Nautilus circle hooks have been the top choice for anglers. From the Nautilus Lite, the regular Nautilus, or the new Nautilus HD, now with Squid Around, you definitely want to look at that. Get the Gamakatsu 4X Strong Octopus Hook, the circle, the choice of top anglers with the sea bass round. Stop in at your local tackle shop. I think you probably get them at Fisherman's Landing with their sale.
Yeah, their sale today is, I believe it's on hooks. It's buy two, get one free. All hooks, buy three, get one free on all the hooks. Yeah, that sale continues today at Fisherman's Landing Tackle.
What an incredible sale, really.
Yeah, big sale.
So
yeah,
today's when...
And it was busy yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Today's when Date the Docks would have been.
Not happening.
Doug's having an in-store sale.
Exactly.
And what we didn't mention yesterday is I took down some incredible 5-inch Viejos colors.
Oh, really?
7-inch and some killer 7-inch weedless in different colors that I hadn't. It kind of, when I was making them, Pete, it was kind of reminiscent of like getting ready for Fred Hall Long Beach.
Yeah.
Thing, you know?
Yeah.
So,
memories.
All right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The good old memories.
Yeah. So buy three, get one free on all Gamakatsu hooks today at Fisherman's Landing Tackle and only today. So you better get down there.
It's good time.
For sure. And let's find out what's biting up at Dana War Sport Fishing. Captain Brian Woolley's on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going in there this morning?
Doing great. How's the fishing?
Good, man. Good. Hey, we had a good week up here. You know, we had some good weather. That certainly helped. And, you know, the half-day fishing perked up a bit as a result of that. our water up here this week was like 63 to 64, you know, and the sun was on it. So that was good to see that 64 degree water for pretty much the first time this season so far. Half day action was great this week as a result of that for sure. We've had some good condition with some current in some of the right spots as well. We've been fishing with anchovy all week, so you can imagine how that's kind of helped ignite the bass fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So it's been nice to, you know, put some of the heavier sinkers away on the half-day trip and, you know, break out the quarter-ounce sliding egg sinkers, that kind of stuff. So guys fishing some light line on the half-days right now, 12 to 15-pound line, small number four hook and an anchovy. Been catching some nice bass.
This
nice
sounds delicious, head. Man. I could envision the bass flipping and flopping right now, Brian.
Right? Yeah, it's kind of nice to actually throw a circle and get some bait in the middle of it and see some stuff splash around. So, yeah, we're stoked on that for sure. Three-quarter day fishing, I'll say it's still in a bit of a funk. You know, anchovy on one side of the equation has kind of been beneficial, but the sheer amount of it out in that deeper water has been a bit of a detriment, you know what I mean? So we're seeing plenty of rockfish on the spots, but that stuff's just gorging itself with the abundance of the anchovy out in that deep water. So, however, it's not a total blank for us out there. It's just been a bit of you know, lots of anchor jobs, lots of drifts, lots of moving around from spot to spot to kind of find the little areas that, you know, have the fish up off the bottom and wanting to bite. But we're still catching plenty of mixed bottom fish, some red, sculpin, boccaccio as a result of that. And certainly the anchovy on the hooks out there has been helpful too. So over at Clemente, the Fury, he's been in the zone. You know, if you want the quality rockfish right now out of our landing, I'd say hop on a trip with Marcus and get over to Clemente. Solid quality over there. 10 fish, you know, limits has not been a problem. And then some nice white fish and things like that on top of it. He's also seeing some surface action on the Bonito with the anchovy over there too. So Marcus has trips on the books all week over there. His next trip would be Tuesday night for Wednesday. $175 to hop on a boat to get over there to Clemente with Marcus. So if you guys want to hop on something like that, certainly he's got spots open midweek and as well over the weekend. So you guys want to get on that. So we're stoked to see a little bit of stuff. You know, just every week it's been a little tick in the right direction. So we're just hoping that we see that as we slide into this next week.
Abundance of bait is a good thing, right?
Yeah, totally. It's been good for the whale watching boats. It's brought the fin whales in close, and it's been good for the fishermen because we have that live bait in our receivers. So call our landing, our number 949-496-5794. Of course, check us out on the web at danawerf.com and link us right there through the Let's Talk Hookup page. Save yourself some time searching us out. You can go right there through the page.
Now, it definitely sounds like a good time to hop on a half-day trip, Brian, and bass flipping and flopping. I love it, man. You got my attention.
Cool. Just incremental increases in the right direction every week is what we hope for. So
We like it. Hey, Captain Brian, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that from Dana Ware Sport Fishing, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for that. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. While we wait for Gundy Gunderson, our surf guru extraordinaire, to give his report, I have another great text. A lot of good texts coming through here. This is from Gary in Huntington Beach. When fishing a balloon, not the kite, how do you attach the main line to the balloon, and how far up the line do you attach the balloon? And what's the technique for fishing the balloon on the surface?
Oh, man. There's a lot of variables there. Ideally, what we usually do is just a simple rubber band. Loop the rubber band around the base of the balloon, then tie it around the line. Drawback to that is there can be some twisting, especially if it's breezy. Some guys go as far as putting a swivel in line with the rubber band. But ideally, the distance varies depending on how big your bait is and how breezy it is. It could be you might be putting that balloon 30, 40 feet up above the bait. It might be 10 feet above the bait, depending on how big and how heavy the bait is. And like I said, really the wind. I got to give some special credit. This is something I was talking about last night to Jason Fleck, Justin's brother. He, as far as I know, as far as putting a yummy under a balloon, he's got to be one of the innovators. And we watched it, and some of the tangles were just absolutely gnarly. But he'd, you know, fishing Eleos Rocks or places like that on the anchor, he'd take a 3-foot balloon, and there was a lot of lot of work put into how far up you got to put it. A
lot of learning.
Oh man,
huge learning curve.
And some of the, you know, you'd get it out there, and the breeze would knock the blue down, and it beats it up, and sometimes the flying fish would go shooting 20, 30, you know, yards at a time. But he started getting bit on it, and it, there's It really is a science. You got to really just start adjusting. But like I said, the quick go-to is taking a heavy rubber band, tying it around your line so it breaks when you get bit. Unfortunately, those big balloons can get pricey. So
And helium is outrageously expensive right now.
And difficult to get, isn't it?
No. When you start putting those big balloons out, it's actually starting to become a financial burden.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you figure by the time you put the balloon out, you fill it with helium, it's a $30 or $40 deal, right?
I haven't done it lately, and I do need to get another tank filled. But I remember going in when I was on the Excel, and then I started running the International Star, and I went and went to Balloon Time here, and it used to be in La Mesa, and picked out a bunch of different balloons. I'm like, okay, I want 10 packs of those. I want this, that. And it was like, and this is a long time ago. This is 20 years ago. And I realized that those balloons are like $3 a piece. I actually went up and apologized to Bill Poole. I said, man, you know, we used to screw around with those, would suck the helium out of them, talk funny, would pop them to scare people. And I said, I never knew how expensive they were. And they've only gone up. And helium is ridiculous.
Oh, helium's gone through the roof.
Oh, but if you're going to do it, it can work out well. There's a lot of playing with the wind, and the same kind of deal with the kite where you start getting it out there, and then after 20 minutes, it blows back to the boat. It can be a little frustrating.
Yeah. Well, hey, we have our surf guru extraordinary, Gundy Gunderson's online. Good morning, Gundy.
Good morning, Gundy.
What's going on, gentlemen? Good stuff, man. Love listening to this.
Yeah, Mike's awesome.
Hey, we're looking good here in the surf. You know, everyone's getting geeked up. We're up over 60 degrees now, and the halibut are just getting frisky. Lots of 30-inch class fish, you know, really nice 10 to 15, 18-pounders being caught in the lagoons, in the harbors, on the beaches. The Grunion ran last weekend. It was It was the third run of the season. It's a closed Grunion run, but still, that's going to draw the fish in. Also, good barred perch action, lots of croaker both spot fin and yellowfin, and better fishing for calico bass and sand bass. But like I said, the top pick this week is the halibut, and for good reason. Lots of fish moving shallow. Like I said, several in the 30-inch class. Hook, line, sinker reported good halibut action all week. Plenty of legals to go with, lots of shorts. On the open beaches, flash minnows have been hard to beat. In calmer water, swim baits and soft jerk baits, sometimes drop shots, sometimes with a bullet head. Galena graveyards, the slough, the harbor mouth, all holding fish there. Wiley's reported good limit fishing for barred perch, but few fish over a pound. You know, it's been curious this spring, just not seeing those big hens. And some are speculating that fish has moved up north. Maybe Guadalupe, Pismo Beach up there, they've been showing us some pictures of some really nice perch up there, and that may be the case. We'll have to see. Just Fishing in Redondo reported good halibut fishing on South Bay beaches. A 34-inch fish was taken off the Hermosa Pier. Big Fish in Seal Beach reported good halibut action all this week with the latest Grunion run. Shoreline Drive, Cherry Beach, 72nd place, all holding fish. I think 28 inches was the better one there. Hogan's reported good action in Capo Bay, the stretch below the harbor from Doheny South. And then from the pier to Cotton's Point have been the best. A 35-inch fish was taken off Cotton's on an X-Wrap. Pacific Coast reported good halibut action on the beaches, in the harbor, and lagoons. 16-pound fish leads the shop's halibut derby. That fish was taken this past week, measured 34 inches, and was taken on a live smelt. They reported lots of hens in the 30-inch class that are checking in, and then lots of fish in the 20 to 24-inch, probably males or whatever. But it looks like they're ganging up, and we might have a spawn over the horizon here. We're seeing all the good signs. And also, Carlsbad Lagoon opened up, Pete. They've been dredging in there. And a few guys got in there yesterday, and they stuck two legal fish in there on Zoom flukes, fished on drop shots. So look at that Carlsbad Lagoon to just get better and sharpen your hooks because the halibut are here.
Yeah. That's incredible stuff, Gundy. And the you had my attention when you said frisky halibut in the surf because that's a little bit cooler water, but anchovy in the mix, and anchovy brings in tomcod, queenfish, and everything else, and it's definitely halibut in the surf, and you got me going, Gundy. Yeah.
Lots of bait. Lots of bait, so that's good science. So.
Hey,
have a good week, gentlemen. I'll let you get back to the good kite stuff.
Yeah, definitely, Gundy. And you always work so hard to put together such an awesome report every week, and I look forward to it. And
yep,
we'll talk to you next week.
I love doing it, guys. I love doing it. Have a good week, gentlemen.
Hey, you got the lines full. We're going to be right back on Let's Hook Up. We're going to be taking your calls when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
If you're looking for a high-quality cocktail that's also easy to enjoy on your next fishing trip, check out Cutwater Spirits' lineup of canned cocktails. Cutwater's master distiller and co-founder, Yusuf Cherney, is a hardcore fisherman. In fact, he developed Cutwater with all his favorite adventures in mind. Yusuf takes Cutwater's award-winning spirits, uses them to make real cocktails, and then puts them into cans so you can take them anywhere. It's like they were made for fishing because they were actually made for fishing. Check out their popular canned margarita made with real tequila, the zest Vodka Mule, or the Spicy Bloody Mary, which has some serious bite. They also make super refreshing vodka sodas in grapefruit, lime, and cucumber flavors. Just crack the can and enjoy a bar-quality cocktail even when there's no bar in sight. Back at the dock or at your evening anchorage in Catalina, Cutwater cocktails are exactly what you need for your next fishing trip. You can check out all 18 of Cutwater's canned cocktails at CutwaterSpirits.com and then look for them at your local liquor store. Then go ahead and set your cocktail free. Please enjoy responsibly.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
The ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all those miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pongas. We've got dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLeonero.com. It's unique.
Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by, so grab your gear and let's go! This adventure Ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third row power fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyfordnow.com to learn more or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag two-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2. The extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid Hagani body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. Plus, a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at a more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and dependability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
Cass Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. Cass Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips for decades. Whether it's a fishing trip or a family vacation, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or check CassTours.com.